Our Father, we come to you this morning and we thank you again for this book we're open. Lord, without it, we wouldn't know anything about you that'd be accurate. So we thank you for that. And thank you, this book teaches us that song. Again, just let it, Christ is all we need. We thank you for that, because when we have him, we have you, we have the Holy Spirit. We have the ability to read this book, not only in words, but in understanding as the Spirit of God reveals to us. And I pray this morning, Lord, help with the message. God, reveal yourself through your Son. Give us the ability to speak words in turn that would be a blessing and help people to grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord. In Christ's name, amen. You may be seated. I want you to take your Bibles and turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. I want to read verses 12 through 18. And then I want to go to 1 Corinthians 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. Now notice, he's talking about our physical body and the makeup in general. And then he relates to us that physical body as being also is Christ. For by one Spirit, now he's telling us how that spiritual body, which you can't see, is made up of those who you can see, and it's manifested through the church. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jew or Gentile, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink unto one Spirit, for the body is not one member, but many. Look in verse 18. But now hath God set or put or placed the members, every one of them, in the body as it hath pleased him. If you also look in verse 27. Now ye are the body of Christ and members in particular. Now look with me in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And we'll see how this operates, and you'll understand why the two verses as we reconcile them together in a minute. Verse 18. Paul said, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. But unto us which are saved is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and will bring to nothing to understanding of the prudent. Where is the Jew? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolishness the wisdom of the world? For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. For the Jew require a sign, the Greeks seek after wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called, both Jew and Greek, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. Now last week I preached a message on the mind. This morning I want to go a further step, because I have been doing some serious studying for weeks now on this subject. I don't know if you understand why God gives us information about ourselves in general in the physical life, because he understands that you and I cannot understand him as a spirit. So I want you to think with me just a moment, the introduction of this message. What God is doing is revealing himself as a spirit into a materialistic world. If you go back to the book of Genesis, you'll find that God said he made man in his image. He said, let us make man in our image. When you look at man, God is saying he made man specifically in his image. Now, all the other created things that he created, but not in his image. He did a special thing in making man. That is, when you see man, you see a low level of what God is like, and it's a very low level. On the other hand, God says, I'm so much beyond you, that I'm going to make man in my image and give him some capacities that in turn that he can learn about me. Though there's a barrier between me and him, because he's made of molecules, atoms, molecules, materialistic things that you can see with the physical eye. You've heard me say that many times. I am a spirit. He can't see me. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to reveal through this image that's in my image, myself, who am God. And I'm going to give him some things that when you look at, you'll be able to understand a little bit more about me. How he operates. That's the reason I'm glad that I understand God created you and I. Though I came through procreation, I'm a descendant of Adam. He created. We didn't just evolve somewhere or another. We're a direct hand of God through creation and procreation. He is the God of creation. Now, for me to understand such a God who made such elaborate system, I can't do it. Even though I'm in His image, I can't grasp it alone. Why? I was in a fallen state before I got saved. And so you're going to see something this morning. If you're interested, if you listen, God will bless your socks off. Amen. Because this is something that years ago I did a study of the mind just for my own benefit. And I'm going to talk about that a little bit this morning. So I want you to think about God, who we can't understand, trying to reveal Himself through us. And He gives us capabilities through the mind. Now, the Bible talks a lot about the head, and when Paul was talking to the church at Corinth, he talked about the head being the center of all things. Everything this body does has come from the head. If this is not functioning right, this is not going to function right. Would you at least say amen to that? If not, go home, get a dictionary, get a encyclopedia down, look at it, and you'll find out. You can just study it like I've done years ago, and in the last few weeks been doing it again. Well, what I'm saying to you is that everything that's in here will function this body. And there's some things we'll look at that in just a moment. So when I think about this thing of the mind, the direction of thinking and feeling, the thinking and perceiving part of the conscious, it's a person having intelligent or regarded as an intellectual being. As I think of the introduction to give you understanding that God has taken man and say, now you look at man, I'll give you the ability to analyze man. You can dissect him. You can find out how he's made. And you're going to see that he is wonderfully made. And you're going to see in man is the capability of doing things another animal or other creation can do. And we're talking about in the materialistic world now, angels in a different world. And I'm going to let you look at him. And if you look at him and listen to what I had to say and referring to him in a physical way, then I'm going to teach you some spiritual truths that you can line up and understand me better by understanding yourself. Now, to understand this part, I've got to understand what's in here. Not only in knowledge, but how that knowledge is done. And so that means you've got to go back and study from here up, especially in this part. The human brain is the most complex living mechanism in this world. If you could build what this could do, it'd be bigger than numerous largest cities in the world, and you can never accomplish what this does. If you look at things, even like years ago, computers are much bigger than they are now. When you think about the brain, and that's this part here, and we'll go to that to start with, and then we'll move to three different elements. The brain, again, has 12 plus billion cells, each connected to 10,000 other brain cells with 120 trillion other brain cells. It's unexplainable. We can dissect it, cut it, and look at it and see how it's made, but you can't understand how it works. You just can't understand how it works. You can all the nerve cells that are there and so forth, but you see that it does work, but there's no really comprehending completely how it works. And when you talk about the mind, you can't even see the mind. You can see the brain, but you can't see the mind. You see the evidence of the mind. And so the brain is our most important organ, because it determines the function of all other organs. It processes information, I gave you some of this last week, through the five senses. Everything you and I know comes through the five senses in the physical world. Everything the brain will know will come through these five senses in the physical world. Now, the heart, the brain, is the heart of the nerve system. It's the main part of our nerve system. It's placed in what is called the cranium, and that's in Johnson County language is skull. Amen. Just plain skull. Here's where this is at. He said, I know where it's at, but you got to listen to what I'm saying to understand how God is showing us himself through what he's made in man. It weighs about 3 pounds, and it can do this fabulous thing. Brain is not a single organ like the liver. It has many parts with special functions, but they all are connected together. And it's interesting when Jesus talks about us being the body of Christ and he's the head. In Christ, we are connected together in this body. We're connected together. That is, I don't care, I don't know where I would be at in the body of Christ, but I'll tell you, I'm connected to the head. And so are you. Whatever it is that God has placed us to do, we're connected to the head. That's the reason we can operate. That's the reason we can operate the way He wants us to operate. You can't be connected to the head of the body of Christ unless you're born into the family of God. So we find that, by the way, you can't be connected to a head like this unless you're born in the physical family either. It takes a birth for that. And it takes a conception to have that particular birth, you see. So the message to the brain passes through what is called the brain stem, then to a different parts of the brain for processing where it can go to the rest of the body. The brain is influenced by thoughts which come from what we see and hear, what we feel, what we taste, what we smell. These are the senses. What your mind feeds upon becomes the most influential force in your life. If you don't believe feeding your mind on trash will cause trash to come out, you just keep feeding your mind on trash. You said, I don't need to hear nothing about this. This is a school. No, this is a spiritual message taking a school application. And you're going to see something that I believe will be a blessing. I'm talking about the function of your mind, the function of our mind. Now, there's three parts of the message. Number one is simply this. To understand what God is telling Paul about the body of Christ and the head, who is Christ, which is a spiritual identity that manifests itself through the local assembly across the planet Earth. There's three parts of the brain. I assume that I can pronounce these fairly right. If I don't, you pray for me, and maybe the next time I'll be able to. The easiest way to remember is, by the way, this is how it's shown into the books too. You have the forebrain, the middle brain, and the hindbrain. I'm pretty well pronounced that. Amen? You can too. But if you want to look at the technical terms of this, the forebrain, which is up here, is the cerebrum. Now, the cerebrum makes up about 85% of the brain. According to what I see, it's two halves of it. It's called the right and the left hemisphere. It is in this era where we have our intelligence, our body functions, the seat of emotions, fear, anger, and etc. Now, I don't know exactly how God looks in the spirit, but I'll tell you this. He has a mind that's beyond any other thing you can think of. Where He has a brain like we, I don't know, but He gave us a brain for the mind to operate in. And when I see this now, I see that here is where my intelligence is at. This is my body function. This is the seat of emotion. Then between that and the hindbrain is the midbrain, and it is really a relay station between the cerebrum and the cerebellum. The cerebellum is the hindbrain at the back. Here, the cerebellum regulates posture and balance and movement. So God has said, I'm going to give you a brain. It's going to manifest a mind. You can have intelligence. You can have wisdom. You'll have a will. You'll have emotions. And this will come through this which I'm giving you. Now, to be in the image of God, that means on a low level, God has made me like Him. It's not just that I may be flesh. I know when Jesus was here, He looked like a Jew. He was from the nation. But there's more to the image of God than just looking fleshly. In fact, God is a spirit. You don't know what He looked like flesh. We know what Jesus looked like, at least from the nationality He was. I've never seen His face exactly, but I have an idea according to the way Jews look down through the years in pictures and so forth. He was of the Jewish descendant when He was born here, though He was the Son of God. And so now I have to see. The only thing I can understand is look how God made me. Let God help me understand my function, though it's a little low level. And then suddenly see, as God explains to me about myself and talk about the church, suddenly the church explodes in my heart to see something about God that I never saw before. And by the way, that's the way He wants it to be. He's beyond you and I. Most of us have so little about God that we don't want to go no further, and all we do is all fantasism because we come like the world and thinking about God rather than letting God reveal Himself to us. And so now, here we have when this cerebellum regulates the postural balance and the movement. It works automatically in controlling the position and the movement of the body according to what is seen, heard, and felt. And when this is damaged, the cerebellum is damaged, you can't control movement of arms and legs of the body at all. You can be alive, but you can't move yourself when this is damaged. Now that's something God has made us into a body. He's given the head where he put this mechanism, which is a valuable thing for the body to operate. Now, when you have, again, the cerebrum and the midbrain and the cerebellum, behind this at the back, there's an oblong extension of the spinal cord at the back of the head, which is called the medulla oblongata. It's the channel which allows signals from other parts of our brain to pass through the body. Now, before I leave this part, keep in mind how we look at ourselves. This controls the body. We have the brain. We have it made up into three different sections. And then we have this. We have one part which has to do with, the intelligent body function. We have the relay system between the two. We have the cerebellum in the back, where you have the posture, balances, and movement. In fact, a little bit about that has to do where I'm at, but you're off of me because the nerves in my feet are dying. I'm losing my balance. This is the part that is part of, you see. And so now there's the medulla oblongata, which connects to the rest of the body. The rest of the body will only do what is here. This hand will never do anything by itself. It's got to do what comes from here. This hand is regulated by this nerve system. Amen?
Amen.
You do have one, don't you? Pinch yourself. See if you don't have one real fast like. Now, the second thing I want you to notice with me, as we leave that for just a minute, understanding how man operates, how God has made us, and he says we're in his image. So that means that whatever God has here, it multiplies many times what we are. It's bigger, greater. Fact, with us we know little, he knows everything. With us we have very little power, he has all power. With us, we are only where we can be localized at a precise moment. He is omnipresent. So you know he's greater, much greater than we are. But you look at man and you see a small, real small level, like a grain of sand on the seashore of who God is. And I'm not even sure that we're that big in his sight. Now look at that, then I got to understand what's going to happen here. Now, there are two basic lines of reasoning in this world that determines our makeup. We have the wisdom and the knowledge of God, which is the intellectual error, and we can have the wisdom and the knowledge of man. We come into this world with the wisdom and knowledge of man. We're in a fallen state, so we don't have the wisdom and knowledge of God. We see evidence of it, but we don't know who he is. Wisdom of man and the wisdom of God. The knowledge of man and the knowledge of God. Another characteristic of the brain also is the will. God made man with a will. Animals have instinct. We have a will. And as I said last week, to rehearse just a minute, when you have intellect or you have knowledge, and then you have emotion, and then you have your will. Your intellect may say something is wrong, but your emotion said, but it's all right, feels good. They don't decide. It's your will that decides which one will govern you. If the emotion said something is wrong, the intellect said, I don't think anything is wrong with that, then it is the will that will decide which way you will go. But here's the thing. Your emotion and your intellect, your emotion and what you know as far as knowledge is concerned, is unbalanced without God. Because all of a sudden you say, well, this feels so good. I can't think it'd be all that wrong. Hey, this feels too good to be wrong. So my emotions take over, and next thing you know, I will to do what the emotions feel. You're going to feel good. But then realize that God said, beware, your sin will find you out. On the other hand, it might be that someone said, you know, outside of this, I just believe this would be nothing to be wrong with this. And all of a sudden the emotions, I don't feel right about that right now. And you say, well, I'm going to go with what I know. And next thing you know, it's your will that will determine each one of them. God has given man the will. Now hear me. Anytime the emotion and the will are intellect and emotion and the will in conflict with each other, the emotion will win without godly influence. Anytime you have intellect, anytime you have emotions, the emotion will win Why? Because that's what the body wants to do. And the body will never want to do something to make you think it's wrong. We're talking about the flesh. So what I want you to understand, the parallel structure, in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 13, it says, evil man wax worse and worse, signifying worse and worse and worse and worse. Why? They have nothing to counteract what they feel or doing. They only know the way of the flesh. And it's since we are dominated by the flesh, what our evil mind says at times, we say, hey, that can't be. That's some religious thing. That's some old fogey stuff that someone brought up, and it feels so good to do it. I'll just do it anyhow. Can't be all that bad if it feels that good. And so what happens is the power struggle is too much inside the flesh without God's help from within. That's the reason God don't start on the outside. He starts on the inside because that's where we have to have the control. I'm talking about being in His image now. So I look at this and see 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 18 through 25. You know the story. He said, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolish, but unto us which are saved is the power of God. He goes all the way through and talks about, he said that, where is the wise? Verse 20, where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. By the way, that's just not a bunch of words to be said. There's some powerful words in there. So what we're saying is that the power struggle is too much without God from within. Interesting enough, though, when you look at the scripture, Jesus said in John chapter 5, verse 3 through 7, to the impotent man by the sheep market pool in Jerusalem, he said to him, will thou be made whole? It's interesting. If you look again, I'm talking about without the help of Jesus, without the help of God, we don't have no hope against this flesh. And again, in Mark chapter 5, 10, verse 51, to blind Barnabas, Jesus said, will thou be, that what will thou that I should do unto thee? In Matthew 8, the leper said, Lord, if thy will, thou canst cleanse me. Revelation 22:17, the scripture said, whosoever will may come. Boy, that includes all of us. Romans 12:2 said, they can know the perfect will of God. In Matthew 26, verse 39 and 42, Jesus said, not my will, but thine be done. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 12, it talks about the child of God exercising his will. 1 Corinthians 7:37, talking about how power over will. Ephesians 5:17 said, we must understand God's will. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 6 said, we must do the will of God from the heart. He's talking about the heart. It's a sinner. He's not talking about what preaches the pumps the blood. He's talking about this being the center of the man's operation. Now, hear me. If that be the case, then we only have one side through the flesh, nothing to counteract that. And you can't understand God's will without the Holy Ghost. And you can't have the Holy Ghost without being born into the family of God. Amen. So this world is running wax. Worse and worse and worse. Why? He has nothing but the flesh. And they reason, it just don't sound all that bad. You people, courageous, but you trying to put a religious straitjacket on us. No, we're not. We're trying to set you free. Or Jesus is. You have to trust Christ. Now, some interesting things happen as you think about the two basic lines of reasoning. Up to the 1950s, technology was very slow. Hearts were open. And the gospel had an open space to work. And I'll tell you, from the 50s back, it worked in mighty, sometimes it's up and down, but it worked in mighty ways. You read church history and the history of what God had done. Back before the 50s, parents were the most influential force in a child's life. But then something happened in the 60s. We got too smart. Threw God out of the classroom, threw the Bible out. I mean, in the 60s, men got smart in technology and began to battle what he called his racial rights. In the 70s, he came along and he said, now, we want to take it a step further. We have some sexual rights, and everything began to come out into the open. In the 80s, he said, wait a minute, we want to go further. We have some religious rights. And then in the 90s, religion has put the church to sleep while the flesh just does what feels good. And that's the way it's been going ever since. 50-year-old PhD in the science department of the university said, I can't believe, and I quote him, I can't believe I was so dumb to not trust Jesus Christ all these years. He said that he was so overeducated in man's intellect and wisdom that it caused him to exclude the wisdom of God. There's no hope if you don't have the wisdom of God. And the wisdom of God comes from the knowledge of God, and that comes from God's holy word. So I've got to understand the parts of the brain, how they function in the image of God. And then the two basic lines of reason in the world is I've got the knowledge and wisdom of man. I've got the knowledge and wisdom of God. And God is saying, this will help me in here when I have that new creation. And I'll have a will that is not out of balance. Without him, this is all I'm going to go. I'll make decisions. I may learn more, make smart, have a high IQ. I might do some great things for man. But when it comes to this flesh, it's going to do what needs and wants to be done because I have nothing else except what I will to do one-sided. One-sided. You ever heard tell someone to say, well, they're living in sin. Well, don't bother me one bit. It's one-sided. I'll tell you what. You put the Holy Ghost in the other side by being born again, it will bother you. It'd be a good sign that you are saved or not saved. And so here, we end up to the third place. And this is where we tie it together. There's no avenue to the body of Christ without Jesus Christ. Now, we started out talking about the body of Christ. There's no avenue to that without Jesus Christ. He, according to Ephesians 4:15, is the head of that body. Now, keep in mind, we're talking about the image of God. You're talking about God's function. Now, God's going to take who he is and tell us who we are so we can understand him to some degree, but realize that it's magnified so much bigger than we are that we have to wait to get to heaven to fully understand what we have capable of understanding. But he wants us to see that how we function. Now, he is showing us through his son, he's going to bring in and bring a body, another body called the church. It's not going to be in this body, but he's going to ring in this body, and we together collectively will make the church. And so that's what has happened. He's in 1 Corinthians 11:3 talks about that Christ, that the head head of man is Christ, and he talks about that the head of Christ is God. In chapter 1 Corinthians 11:3, he also talks about man being head of the woman, but he's talking about the relationship. In other words, Christ, God is the head of Christ. Christ is the head of man, and man is the head of the woman. That's for the role playing from the throne of God to understand. You can't have a relationship like it should be before God Almighty. You can't have two authorities. You got to have only one. And God is the final authority in this era. Though Christ is equal with him, when he was here in a body, he submitted to God. Now, here's the thing. God the Father and God the Son, we know they have the same mind. But in this relationship, we see that he said that God is the head of Christ and Christ is the head of man. So that means this new creation, he also tells us in Ephesians 5:23, that Christ is the head of the church. So this organization, this spiritual organization that God is making, the church which is found in the local church, born again believers, he's the head of that church. Now the interesting thing about this is this. He's the head of the church. There's also that which we learn in a physical body, him being the head. Everything the church knows and understands will come from the head. Amen? He's the head of the church. If you don't believe it, go read Ephesians 5:23 and Ephesians 4:15. Jesus Christ is the head of the church. Now, God is the head compared to who we are, though we know they're the same. God is the head where we are in his image. But now we're talking about something outside of us that's in us. We're talking about a kingdom that he's preparing in this world that is a spiritual kingdom, not a natural kingdom right now, a spiritual kingdom which will one day come back and manifest itself in a natural kingdom over the nation of Israel. So what we're seeing now is that that Christ is the head. All right, but we, he said, are the members. There's a connection. Not only is Christ the head of the church, but we have a spiritual medulla oblongata. That is, it's reaching from the head to the body. Now, Christ, no doubt, is the head. And is probably part of this connection there. But the Holy Spirit is the one that God works the word through the rest of the body. It's coming from the head by the Spirit, through the Spirit, with the Word of God. So this new head that we have that's in us, this new creation, now is learning with this brain, this mind, this intelligence, And now God has awakened. He made me awake. He quickened me. He made me alive unto God. He moved in by His Spirit. The Holy Spirit of God represents Jesus Christ. Now God has said, son, I'm there to help you. Everything you face, I'll help you make the right decision. Put this book in your heart. Hide it in your heart when you come to make a decision. I'll help you push the right buttons because I'm there. I'm helping you with your will. You didn't have that before. But I'm helping you now, son. You hide the Word of God in your heart. And every time something comes up, I'll pop a verse of Scripture up in your mind to make you know whether it's right or wrong or not. And then you have to decide whether you're going to go the flesh or God's way. And so we're living there in that life after we get saved. And now, here is where the new creation has power and an avenue to work in the body of Christ through us. This Christ is the head of this body. And no matter how hard I try, I'm still enlightened by humanism without Jesus Christ. If I don't have Him, I'm enlightened by humanism. Everything that's built around humanism that pleases the flesh, that's all I hear. Spiritual life, what is that? I know what physical life is. What do you mean spiritual life? You need to be saved. Saved from what? That's all the flesh can see. What do you mean I need to be saved? There's no enlightenment of that until the Holy Ghost takes the gospel and begins to show us the difference between the two. Man's will controls thinking, and it can't rise any higher than man. That's the reason religion, when he clothes himself with it, is in the eye of the beholder. Religion can be anything one thinks. Well, I think, I believe this. This is my religion. That's your religion. We have a right to that, and our country gives a right to that in our day. Religion says, I know I've got a problem, so we need to find an answer somewhere or another, but I just don't believe in the God you believe in. Religion said, you know, I can't get over this for some reason, but there's got to be an answer. We just keep looking within ourselves. We want to be able to find it after a while. Religion may say, I know I need help. I can't move. I'm helpless. I'm powerless. Religion says, I want to live right, but you know, for some reason I can't, and Romans 7 tells us why we can't. So to attempt to throw aside restraint and responsibilities in the flesh, it makes us subject to other forms of bondage. Religion, we put it on, we try to live to it, we put ourselves in bondage, and next thing you know, it don't work. So we try someone else. Some people jump from one church to the next church, and nothing finds to work. The reason thing is we need to find a good, Bible-believing, God-honoring, preaching church. And then listen to what's been said, and then go home and check it out to be sure it's so you can show the error, if there's an error that's there. That's the way God would have it. The reason of situation ethics. When you attempt to throw things aside and restrain responsibilities in the flesh makes us subject to other forms. And so we have, in the last number of years, this thought of situation ethics. In other words, situation ethics says we made laws that can change if the next generation doesn't like what we make. After all, each generation should know what is right for them. We can remake or eliminate situation ethics. But wait a minute, ladies and gentlemen. When I read this about situation ethics, my thought is this. There are some laws that did not originate with man. They came from God. And you can't change them without breaking them. And God says there's a penalty for that. The mind of Christ that's in me now gives me the mind of God. And by the way, the Scripture does say that to us in this life. He says, for we who have known the mind of the Lord, that He may instruct him, but we have the mind of Christ. In that, he's talking to the church of Corinth, the most carnal people they find. He said, we've got the mind of Christ. That means we have the capacity of knowing what is right and what is wrong in one's life. Again, these are not man-made ethical guideposts. You go to look at the dilemma that Paul talks about in Romans 7:24, and he ended up, as he talked about, man, oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from such a body of death? You go over again, and you find the answers in Jesus Christ, and in chapter 8, Paul gives us our solution that's in Christ. I'm talking about the function of our minds. We're an image of God. Dissect the brain, and God said, that's where your mind will be. You'll be able to operate. Just keep in mind, there's an intelligent here, and there's a greater intelligent here. what you see here is a small scale who I am. But praise God, I'll reveal myself to you, son, if you let that God-given ability and this brain that I give you, which is center of your mind, center of your nervous system, if you will let that new creation in Christ Jesus, which gives you the mind of Christ through this word, if you let that dominate you, then you will do what I need doing until I bring you home. Won't mean you won't have a battle. You may cry like Paul, "O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from such a body of death?" And you'll get the same answer that Paul did. I thank God through Jesus Christ. I'll give you the same answer. I'll give you the same answer. Lenin is buried in the Red Square in Moscow. And they say the words that are written on his tombstone says, and I quote, "He was the greatest leader of all people, of all countries, of all times. He was the Lord of the new humanity. He was the Savior of the world." But I notice they use the word "was." That's past tense. Now, that was, of course, we know that was a lie then, but that's still past tense. It didn't say he is now. I've got news for you. The first visitor to Christ's tomb didn't see an epitaph written upon that tomb, but they did hear a voice say, "He is not here. He is risen." That's who I'm talking about. That's what I'm talking about. Now, death. What can I say of that? Death is only a shadow for the child of God. Death is just a shadow. The truck has already hit Christ. He can't hurt us because of who He is. And I say to you, without Jesus Christ, you and I have no spiritual medulla oblongata for our minds to be, for His mind to be in us. He's the one that reaches every member of the body. It's the blood of Christ, spiritually speaking, that circulates in that glory, in that body of Christ. And that blood reaches all of us and keeps us fresh and alive. And the knowledge that comes through this system, if you look at God and look at our makeup and look at Christ as being the mind of Christ, then we're saying that in this body that God has moved in to help me make decisions as a member of the body of Christ, then Christ is this head that gives me the mind. That if I'll yield and submit to that, and God, you know, He loves obedience more than sacrifice anyhow. If I submit and obey that, then He will bring to me in that body the ingredients that's needed to make the church. I can't make the church by myself. We are the church. We here are the church. And you can either black it or make it look good. You know what happened? The decision been made to exalt Jesus Christ. If Christ has His way, you know what He's going to do. He's going to please the Father. He always has and He always will. Amen? So if I'm going to please the Father, I've got to be doing what Christ would have me do while I'm here within my capacity, my availability, and my abilities that I give to Him. 1 Corinthians 2:16 says we have the mind of Christ. God's mind comes to us through Jesus Christ by His Spirit using His Word. In essence, you can say that's that medulla oblongata at the back that feeds the body of Christ as we visualize that from our body. And God gives us this physical body to look at as an example, a metaphor of some type that we can look at the spiritual body you can't see. In other words, this becomes a parable, a little story thrown alongside truth to see what God has done. That's the reason the world can't understand it. They have no spiritual eyes. Well, when I see what God has said about how I'm made, I look at myself, look at how God made me, and then know God who He is. Now, all of a sudden, I can take that with my spiritual eyes and see a great, wonderful, magnificent God, a Savior that Buddha and others who claim to be saved can't even come close to because of who He is. God will enlighten our eyes to see who He is. And there'll be a bare witness as it cries, "Father, Father, Abba, Abba, Father." It'll be there. You can't explain it. You've got to experience it. It is my words. Laws are fair to everybody. Without rules or laws, it is always in the eye of the beholder. If it's not documented or given by God and made up by others, it's in the word. It's my words against your words. But when it's documented, then it's our words against what God has to say. And God keeps records. And my last fault is simply this. You miss doing what God have done. If he moves and directs us to do something and we don't, God keeps a record. His records tells the facts. The function of our mind is what you feed your mind becomes the most influential force in your life. If you go back to the cerebrum, the midbrain, and the cerebellum, and then look at how they function, this body, then realize this is where Christ is for us, and look at the medulla oblongata, which allows signals to pass to the body. Here, it allows signals to pass by the Spirit of God through His Word to the body of Christ. And that's the reason Paul told Timothy, and I close with this, as I think about this part of the function of the mind. I believe it all in my heart, 1 Timothy 2:15, when Paul says, study to show thyself approved unto God, not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. That's what happens when the Holy Spirit moves in to create that new creation. Now, if I could show you, and don't, this is a unit, but when he comes in, there is a spiritual circumcision that takes place, book of Romans tells us. And what God does, let's put it this way. This is the flesh housing the image of God. Now, when I have a complete soul, spirit, and body, I trust Christ as my personal Savior. If you can visualize this as being a whole and a soul, spirit, and body, I trust Christ. Then Christ comes in with this new creation and dwells in this body. But there is a spiritual circumcision. See the gap? In other words, where that spiritual circumcision is there, my will operates in here. I can know what God wants. I know what God wants. I know what the man wants. And I don't have to let this flesh dominate me anymore. God has set me free from it. You can't see the line of demarcation, but there's a spiritual circumcision. He uses that to talk about circumcision. Look at the book of Romans, sons of Israel, and cutting the foreskin off. He uses spiritual circumcision to cut away the filth of the flesh. In other words, it's there, but it don't have to dominate you. Why? Because God has given a power in you with the mind of Christ that you can exercise. You don't have to do it alone. He helps us do it He Himself. Study to show thyself approved unto God. Not to be ashamed, but rightly dividing the word of truth. And I'll be there, son, to help you. You didn't have it before you got saved, but you got it now. I'll be there to help you. You can't exercise the mind of Christ. Your will is going to have to move this way, though, and let this dominate, rather than this way, and let flesh dominate. Are you with me? What a great God we got. He's done so much. It's more than just words that can fade away or fly away with the not repeating them. It is words that come alive to see God and what He's done. I've never seen Him with my physical eyes, but I know He exists. I know He's alive and well. Why? He reveals it through His Son that lives here to reveal to my heart who He really is, if I really want to know. But son, you'll not know it unless you let me teach you in this book. The function of the mind. Everything in the body of Christ comes through the mind of Christ. He's the head. Everything in our body comes from our head. We understand that. Isn't it amazing how God gave us that picture? I dare say, go home and study the head and study these parts, see how they function, then let God reveal to you how He uses that to show us how He operates. Now, if you hear you're not saved this morning, you don't have His head. You don't have Him. You have to be born into the family of God. And that's the gospel that's touching your heart. Well, what do I need to be saved for? The gospel says because you're a sinner. I'm not such a bad person. But all have sinned and come short of the glory. But I'm doing pretty. But the Bible says the wage of sin is death. Well, I'm pretty. You're going to die one day. Well, I sure am, ain't I? All of a sudden, the Word begins to peel away all that ignorance. And next thing you say, Lord, I need someone that knows who I am. I need someone who can help me. And that all that does is it opens the door that God says, this is my beloved Son. Hear ye Him. This morning, that's all we ask. If you're not saved, come let one of these men and women take you to a prayer room. Open this Bible and hear what He has to say. My Father, Lord, I don't know any other way to put it. I've done my best to break this down so simple that one can analyze it in their own way. Dear Lord, look at it from a physical aspect and see a spiritual truth that's beyond our comprehension in this life. But it's enough to see God. And I thank you for that. Honor yourself this morning, Lord, through what's been said. May your people walk from this place lifted up, encouraged, because they see a fresh new look of God. He's not like the gods of this world. He's not some Mickey Mouse type of imagination in one's mind that one runs to when he don't have no one else to go to and come out worse than he was before he went. Lord, we have one who's alive and well. We thank you for that. Help your people. Please help your people. I realize, dear Father, that maybe on a small scale these things are being said, but you don't need a lot to get your word out. Bless the radio broadcast in a few minutes. If no one in these walls have been blessed, bless someone on the radio. Don't let the study go to waste. In Jesus' name we pray.